The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning us in on the Still Just Fishing Show. We got Bill Denmark in here with us this morning.
Hey, feeling optimistic today, Vic?
You are?
Yeah.
Good deal.
Uh-huh. You know, you think about that, fishermen got to be the most optimistic guys on the
planet.
They
really are. You look at it, you're going expecting to just tear them up.
Or you wouldn't go.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't go if you knew that you weren't going to catch anything.
Well, your dad or your uncle or some neighbor or somebody drags you out when you're little. Mm-hmm. And puts you on, you know, a bunch of carp or some.
We never fish for carp.
Some unworthy fish, and you're like, wow, this is fantastic. And look at us now.
Yeah. I know what you mean, man. It's kind of just, it just wears on you, and then you get out there, and it's like, man. I mean, like yesterday, I mean, I know people got on fish yesterday. I talked to Mark Korvick. At the boat ramp, which is the guy for FWC biology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they take surveys, and he said the fish were kind of off and on, didn't really see that many. I've talked to a couple of friends of mine, and they were like, you know, having a tough day, and, you know, they were doing different types of fish, and one person was trying to find trout, but he looked everywhere, and, you know.
I fished yesterday.
He found a couple of little trout, you know, stuff like that, but I mean, our first fish out of the box was 29-inch red, and we saw him splashing and feeding and, you know, pulled up there, and actually it was kind of weird because I was running about 30 miles an hour, and I passed this fish, you know, and they were just sitting there, and of course the areas that I go through, a lot of times I'll look back a little bit, see what my waves do. Right before my waves got there, you could see this school of fish in there, you know, so. You know, I turn around and come back. I said, you know, it'll probably take a few minutes to calm down. And sure enough, they did. And, you know, we hooked up at 29-inch red. And he was like just, I mean, busting, you know, the mm-hmm. surface. And, you know, his tail was coming out of the water. And he was flipping over and stuff like that and just splashing and all that. And that was the only fish we caught there. I mean, the rest of them, you could see him just go right on down the bank.
It just took off. Like,
yeah. Let's get Chip Wing going here. Why, he might be having a charter this morning.
He's an optimistic guy.
Oh, yeah. Go on, Chip.
You have to be optimistic.
Indeed, Chip.
Hey, how'd you like that cloud cover yesterday? Oh, that dust cover.
Yeah, I'll take it. I did a double day, and I tell you what, it was a long day on the water. So, yeah. Good day.
And it was supposed to be 97 yesterday, so that was like the hottest day so far of the year. So, That dust cover kind of kept it down some, and then we had a little breeze, you know.
That's why I'm starting at 6:15 today, so, you know, we'll get out and get on them. It was weird Thursday, Vic. We, first trip, we had tons of trash can slams and caught out on the cast. We caught a real nice trout, over 20, and then, which I knew right then I should have just thrown it out and reeled it back in. You know,
pass it on to the other guy.
Yeah, right before we finished up, we caught a nice 26-inch red, and then jumped about 100-pound tarpon, and you know, came back to Palm Valley and ate some lunch, took a nap in my truck, went back out at 3 because it was, and then we absolutely annihilated the redfish. Huh. On the same tide in the same spots I fished earlier that day. So it just didn't make sense. You know, we had 12 reds from 25 to 30 inches and, you know, catching them on the fish bites crab and mud minnows. And it was just insane, you know, and it's like you said, it's up or down. One day it's on a fire. The next day you got to work for them, you know, not going to the same spots, but working the same areas. So
yeah,
but it, been interesting. I mean, there's a lot of bait in the creeks here and in the intercoastal. It's insane how much bait's here right now.
Yeah, you talking about the tarpon. We had a tarpon working around us there yesterday for about an hour. Kept watching him. He's probably about 40 pounds or so. And then there's this other guy, you know, that was in another boat all the way across Wide Creek, and he was all the way across the creek. And he asked me, he said, "Is that a porpoise? I don't see a fin." I said, "No, it's a tarpon." He's just messing around. And he said, "You mind if I come over there and try to get him?" I said, "Yeah, come on, you know, be careful what you wish for." He said, "Yeah, it'll probably break me off. I'll probably lose the lure, but, you know, he was going to try him." So he was still trying him when we left that spot.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of pogies that are about 5 inches long in the intercoastal. So if you take one of those and cut the tail about an inch up, you know, and put it on a circle hook and, you know, throw it out of the back, a lot of times they'll pick it up off the bottom where you see them rolling. Because a lot of times those fish are going straight up and then straight back down. So, you know, but it was fun. I mean, it's fun while it lasted. You got 3 jumps out of it before it broke off. But, you know, it's always fun to do it. So, yeah, I'm happy I'm not fishing tomorrow. I'm going to take a break. So,
yeah.
It's hot now. I mean, I don't mind the afternoon thunderstorms. But, you know, when we came in Thursday, you know, we were just about ready to be done, and I heard the first boom, and I go, "We're done. Let's go."
Yeah, it was. We had a little bit of rain, but boy, we had some lightning at our house.
Yeah, I got that nice Bahamian boat wash on the drive home. It just poured on me on the way home. So, get home and look, and your boat's almost spotless. You're like, "Yeah, I can deal with that."
Yeah, if it's a hard rain, that's good. Wash that, you know, crab out and stuff like that.
Yeah, so it's back to the, you know, the grind in the summertime now. I mean, it's hot.
Yeah, it is.
Tell my clients, "Let's go at 6:15. They're like, "Huh?" I'm like, "Let's go at 6 or 6:15. But when we get done, it'll be 85, 90 degrees, but it's not going to be the middle of the day and just scorching. So,
yeah.
But it's been weird down here. The fish are biting on the edges of the grass at high tide, you know, and it seems like some of the bites coming better on the higher tides. You know, I think it has something to do with all the bait in the creeks. And, you know, I know that those baits are noisy in the creeks, you know, and you throw another bait in there and, you know, it's like walking into a candy store and trying to find the blue M&M, you know, it's somewhere. But, you know, hopefully we get a couple of days of good rain to, you know, afternoon stuff that'll cool us down some.
Yeah, I'm wondering what's making the water so dirty up here. I mean, yeah. All the way in Fort George Inlet, Nassau River. I mean, it's just dirty. You know, Nassau and Nassau and Fort George is just green water when your incoming tide. And I was in Fort George the other day, and it looks like, you know, the intercoastal.
Yeah, I was in Nassauville yesterday, went all the way up there, and it was like chocolate milk.
Yeah, I can't get over how dirty the water is.
Yeah, it's crazy. That rain will for a while, so, you know, it takes a little while to dump out as much, so, you know, up in seem to be as bad, so, you know, when it's out, but all these kingfish boats are flying through here right now, through the no wake zone. I guess today's the
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how many boats they have in that tournament. I know they had 600 in that last one.
Yeah, I think this one only has like 150 boats. Hmm. Paul did a phenomenal job on that tournament.
He did. And I don't know how the Jacksonville Kingfish tournament is going to wind up being, but I know I'm not working that week. There ain't going to be no boat ramp around close to Jacksonville, you know. I've done that before, not doing it anymore. I appreciate it, Chip. Try to have a good day out there if you can.
Good luck, Chip.
If you'd like to give Captain Chip Winger a call, it's 614-4989. 614-4989. As always, I appreciate the call, Chip.
You got it, guys.
All right, good luck, Tate. And give us a call, 222-8255. We'll be back after this.
If you love the ocean, then express yourself with clothing from Seven Seas Outfitters. Seven Seas Outfitters makes high-quality apparel with stunning artwork for men and women. Seven Seas Outfitters was created out of a passion for the ocean, its sandy beaches, the marine life, and the mysteries that lie beneath the waves. Seven Seas Outfitters loves the ocean like you do. They donate 10% of their revenue to ocean-friendly nonprofits. Check out their full lineup at SevenSeasOutfitters.com. That's SevenSeasOutfitters.com. Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning, and I don't know how everybody liked that cloud cover yesterday, but it wasn't really cloud. It was that dust from Africa, but just another thing for the year 2020. looks like it's really something else. Anyway, we got west-northwest winds around 5 knots, becoming south-southwest in the morning, and then becoming south-southeast in the afternoon. Seas 2 to 3 feet. Tomorrow you have southwest winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming south in the afternoon, seas 2 to 3 feet. Monday, west winds 5 to 10 knots. So it looks like, the winds are going to be pretty nice. Tuesday, west-southwest 5 to 10 knots, seas 2 to 3. And Wednesday, south-southwest 5 to 10 knots, seas 2 to 3 feet. So it looks like the forecast here is going to be pretty good. All the exception of that dust that they call it coming across the ocean there. And
how long is that supposed to last?
You know, they talked about it just about being around the Keys. And
are the guys that predict the wind?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you can imagine. So anyway, it goes. They talked about it going like over the Keys and then going out into the Gulf and then hitting the jet stream, pulling it around and then bringing it across North Florida. But as you could tell, it's already here at North Florida. So, you know, something's up with the reason. I mean, something's up with, that reasoning or that forecast or whatever. So I don't know. It's it was kind of crazy yesterday. Now, there again, it did block the sun, kept it from being 97. You know, it showed 96 degrees.
It was hot.
A couple days in a row for Friday. And then Friday morning, as I was getting ready and fixing my coffee, the news said it was going to be 97. And I was like, oh, boy.
You know, I actually, because of that, I broke out the top water lure. I saw an oyster, big oyster bed that I, and this is incoming, low incoming tide. And I said, you know what? I'm going to hit that because, you know, I was over in Nassauville working my, fishing my way back. And I put out that spook. I had a little trout hit on it. That was it. But I was wind drifting through this thing. You know, I had the trolling motor down, but I was just using it to kind of steer a little bit.
Yeah.
And the current was taking me, incoming tide was taking me, and the wind was good. So I'm drifting over towards the bank, and I'm casting, and I got a popping cork out, and, you know, I'm just working it as hard as I could. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at the bank. I said, man, I'm getting pretty close. And I looked 8 feet away from my boat, and I see this thing, kind of like a little wedge of cardboard come up out of the water. Kind of brownish, tan.
Oh, only one?
Only one.
Oh, okay.
I said, what the? It comes up again. It's a freaking redfish. He's tailing 8 feet from my boat.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, holy crap. So I'm like, how am I going to do this? Because I know if I move, you know, I'm pretty quiet in the boat. And how am I going to do it? So I moved, and he started to move off. And I said, man, I got to get away from him so I can get something on him, you know, to try to catch him. I should have used my cast net. And as soon as I turned the trolling motor on, it was stuck in the oyster like, thunk, 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 thunk,
thunk. Oh, yeah.
And he was gone.
Yeah.
But he's the only redfish I saw.
It don't take but a second for that trolling motor to, I mean, I mean, make some, you know, noise all in that water. And you know, you really don't think about how much noise that it travels in that water. The other day, it was funny because we were in, I had my granddaughter and I was in, we got an above ground pool. And we were in it, and I told her I was going to pop my knuckles and see if she could hear it on the other side of the pool. Mm-hmm. And pop the knuckle, and she was like, oh, wow.
Yeah. I've read something, and it's hard. The environmental people are, you know, a lot of them are just freaking flakes. It's hard to depend on them. But they speculated that before there was power boats, whales could hear each other almost across the ocean.
Yeah,
because that particular wavelength of their, you know, talk communications travels. It's like the difference between AM and FM. It's a real long wavelength.
Yeah,
and they could hear forever.
When I was listening or watching this thing about, I'm all the time if I'm at home relaxing or whatever, you know, especially if I'm not working on a Sunday. The Sunday morning has some really good. I get my coffee and just sit there and watch the nature shows. They have some good shows on National Geographic and all. The other day they had one on, it was about blue whales. Mm-hmm. And blue whales can actually hear each other 1,000 miles away.
Even now?
Yeah.
So then that's probably true. They 1, could hear 1, for thousands. Miles.
Yeah. Wow. That just blew my mind.
That is mind-blowing.
You know, 1,000 miles to think, you know, I mean, I can't hear from one room to the other.
I can see the whales in the Bahamas going, what's going on up there? And then guys up in New England going, it's snowing.
Yeah, really.
But the krill is delicious.
Yeah, it's like a lion's roar. You know, a lion can be heard for about 3 to 4 miles.
Wow.
And, you know, which is something that's where I grew up was on West 60th Street in Jacksonville, which is on the north side. And we could, at night, you could hear the lion's roar at the zoo.
Wow.
And we were probably a good 3-4 miles from them. Now, you didn't hear them in the summertime. It was only in the wintertime because the trees, and I didn't know this growing up, of course, but now I do. But the trees had leaves in the summertime, sure. So it blocked the sound a lot. But we were like across Trout River and not very far off of Trout River.
Right.
And, of course, the zoo is right on Trout River. So, but anyway, you know, we'd hear them and my brothers would be like, because I was the youngest in the family. My brothers would be like, listen, another one got out. You know? They had me so scared.
Nice. Well, you know, I can still hear my ex-wife in my head.
Yeah, there you go.
So that horrible roaring has lasted for 15 years.
Oh, But that was really mind-boggling to me to hear that a blue whale could be heard 1,000 miles. That's just unbelievable. But, you know, I guess it's that particular
wavelength
for them.
Well, and they said that the motors of boats, and, you know, you've been swimming around boats. You can hear a motorboat for a long ways, and we're not built to hear underwater.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's feasible that they could, you know, the whales in the Bahamas could talk to the guys in New England.
Yeah, and I was watching something one time, and they were saying that the sound travel in water up to 7 times further than air, than in the air. So, you know, when you got somebody who, you know, is sitting there and, you know, tapping their feet in the boat, and you're trying to catch a redfish up in 8 inches of water, you know.
Right.
And you know, I'll usually say, are you trying to let him know we're here, you know?
But I wonder if you're in shallow water, if that shortens it.
I don't know.
You know, because the mud certainly isn't transferring any sound.
No, but the water would be still.
Sure.
You know.
It's interesting.
But, I mean, I have seen, you know, I mean, at one time it was, I was so embarrassed myself. You know, I drink a lot of coffee on the boat. So at one point I pull up, you know, and we see this school of fish. And they were on a shallow place, you know, and so I bait everybody up, you know, and everything, tell them where to throw the lines at, and I go up in front of the boat and get my thermos out of my compartment and start pouring me a cup of coffee, and as I'm putting the lid on, I drop the thermos.
Oh.
And it hit the floor of the boat, and it looked like you threw a mule in the water over there with where the fish were.
Right.
And it was just like, gone. Man, they were just gone. And, you know, I felt so bad about that, you know, and I was like, wow, that's why you should be quiet, not like me.
I don't want to have to teach you that again.
Yeah, really. But, you know, when you have, you know, a lot of times you have small kids in the boat, they'll jump off the deck onto the floor of the boat and, you know, they hit the rod on the boat, stuff like that. I mean, little things that you don't realize, you know, probably those fish, you're telling those fish you're there, so they may not, you know, cooperate as much, or they may ease off a little further from you, you know, things like that.
I know you were yelling at me for dropping my trolling motor.
Yeah.
So I haven't done it since, by the way.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Because even if you're coming up to a place and you're 200 feet away, you know, and you turn your gas motor off, and then once you drop that trolling motor, it's like, boom, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bad thing. It's that sudden noise. Probably if you were just to have a, you know, like a trolling motor is just like a steady noise coming up on the fish. That's a little different. Where it's like quiet and then a little louder and a little louder. That's a little different. But, you know, once you have that sudden boom, I think that's what affects them a lot more. To me, anyway.
Yeah. Well, I haven't, you know, I've done everything. Yes, I fish typically, I went by myself, which is normally the way I like to fish.
Mm-hmm.
I got 6 rods. They're all rigged.
Mm-hmm.
And then I changed baits out too. So yesterday I used live shrimp, mud minnows, gulps, fight club with a mighty mite bait. I used a Zara spook. I used a get a bite. I used a slip cork. I used a popping cork. And I used a swivel jig. With live bait, too. I catch a fish.
I'm telling you, man, it was tough yesterday. Oh. Now, I'm surprised you didn't catch one with a live shrimp.
But, and I was quiet.
You know? Oh, you was quiet.
Yeah.
You didn't drop the trolling motor.
No.
But, you know, as far as, like, having, you know, my customers out there, I mean, we lost 3 nice fish, which would have been probably good keepers, you know?
Right.
Just... You know, by the way they were fighting on the rod, I could tell. But, you know, one of them was cut off, and then, you know, one of them got off. He was on a circle hook, and I don't know how he got off. Because he fought all the way up to about 10 foot from the boat, and then jig just come out. It was the weirdest thing.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. And so anyway, I mean, we caught the oversized, caught, you know, 3 or 4 undersized, you know, got the one keeper, and... you know, the fish that we saw in the morning, most of the fish we saw, we couldn't get to. And I'll tell you about the ones I could get to that we saw splashing and feeding when we come back.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Texas and Florida have clamped down on some bars in America's biggest retreat, yet as the nation's daily number of confirmed coronavirus cases rises to an all-time high of 45,000, and 300 in Florida. Miami-Dade County announced beaches would be closed for the 4th of July weekend as a precaution. Texas Governor Greg Abbott closed bars and scaled back restaurant capacity. Pakistan has announced a record increase in fuel prices days before the end of a fiscal year in which the country's economy contracted for the first time in 68 years. That also seen as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. President Trump has signed an executive order to protect monuments and statues. The president had promised the order earlier this week after police thwarted an attempt by protesters to pull down a statue of Andrew Jackson.
You can't seem to get away from the bad news, so here's some good news for a change. Brought to you by Tools for a Time on Old St. Augustine Road and I-295.
A lot of things shut down during the virus, but a certain hotel refused to close. The hotel wanted to stay open so they could offer up their rooms to the homeless, all for free. The homeless guests were so thankful for this random act of kindness that they ended up doing chores around the hotel to show their appreciation. One guest built an entire brick wall and patio, while another pulled weeds in the garden, and they said they had fun the whole time. A guest said the hotel staying open truly saved his life, and that he had never slept in a double bed before now. The hotel saw how much of an impact that they were making, and they decided to pair up with a homeless charity. The charity focuses on managing addiction and becoming financially stable. The five-star hotel usually costs $200 a night, but they said they were just trying to help. Now that's good news.
Are you still waiting on your stimulus check? Create your own stimulus with a turnkey business package from Tools for a Time. For 25 years, Tools for a Time has helped people achieve the dream of being their own boss with commercial landscape packages powered by Exmark. Exmark mowers are the most trusted brand in the industry and proudly built right here in America. Now is the best time to buy with rebates up to $1,000 off and 0% financing with no payments for 120 days. Let Tools for a Time and Exmark get you back to work today. Online at toolsforatime.com.
Are you searching for a church where the music and the message are God-honoring? Do you want to hear expository preaching with verse-by-verse presentation of God's Word? If you have said yes to these questions, then you are invited to worship at First Conservative Baptist Church, located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, just 1 mile south of I-295. Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor, founder, invites you to worship.
It's been quite a year. The events we've experienced thus far in 2020 will change us forever. This weekend, CBS Audio presents America, Changed Forever, hosted by Gil Gross. From the coronavirus pandemic to the impact of George Floyd's death and the Black Lives Matter movement, Gil will talk with the newsmakers and bring you the latest. Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 1 p.m. on WBOB. How will the weather affect you? WBOB weather.
30% chance of showers through tonight. Partly sunny and hot this afternoon. High 97. Heat index of 105. Cloudy tonight. Down to 75. Partly sunny Sunday with a high 98 with a heat index of 105. And then partly cloudy Sunday night down to 75. And then up to about a 60% chance of showers Monday through about next weekend. Daytime highs 95, overnight low 75.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And I was going to tell you about the, you know, fishing. Like I said, we knocked off that 29-incher right off the bat, you know, in the first spot. And then I guess he blew all the other fish out of there or whatever, but we didn't get another bite there. So we went to another spot and, you know, got a couple, you know, or rat red. I think we got one rat red there. and saw a couple of fish moving around, you know, just didn't catch them. But anyway, so we go down to this other place, and these fish are in so shallow, they have the back out of the water. And they're like 250, 300 feet away from us.
How many?
And I would say probably at least about 10, you know. I mean, not in a group, but you'd see one here and one there.
Right.
Big old flat. So we're sitting where I usually sit. And I'm like, you know, we got a minus 0.3 tide today. So I said, you know, those fish are not here. They're over there, it looks like. And we watched them for about 15 minutes to decide if they were going to come down the bank or stay up there or whatever, you know. So they're going to stay up there. So, you know, I eased down there very slow, very quiet. And pull up there and, you know, get to where we could reach them. And I eased the anchor down. I didn't do spot lock on the trolling motor because, you know, didn't want to make any noise, you know, and so.
Plus, in shallow water, you turn it into a mud hole.
Yes. Yeah, you'll muddy the water all up. And that's one of the reasons I was going so slow is because we were so shallow, I had the trolling motor, you know, way up toward the surface, and I didn't want it cavitating and splashing and making noise. So we get down there, and once we get down to that spot, the fish start splashing and feeding where we just left. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So we sit here about 20 minutes. And you know, I kind of, you know, when you're sitting in places like that, instead of trying to, like, be on the move when you got customers, you know, a lot of times that, you know, don't make the great cast and stuff, you know, you want to be able to just throw the bait out there and let the fish come to it.
Were you thinking, God, I wish Bill was with me?
So anyway, I sat there about 20 minutes, and we watched them splashing and feeding down there. So we had one bait where we'd seen one with the back out of the water. There was like 35, 40 feet of water behind the oyster bed to the edge of the bank, and never got a bite there. So we pulled the bait out. I turned the boat around and started easing back down to where they were. And sure enough, we get just past that oyster bed, and there's his back out of the water again.
Back where he was.
Back right there where the guy's bait was.
That's
and I said, he's probably smelling that crab, you know, where it was. Yeah. So anyway, we kind of stopped midpoint and thinking, you know, maybe these fish might come right back to this other spot. And they did, and they just kind of stayed about 250 feet away from us the whole time. We kept seeing one, at least one, I think it was two, feeding at the creek mouth, which was down about probably 400 feet from us. So I said, well, you know, it's a little deeper water down there. Maybe we can go down there and kind of, you know, get onto them better. So we went down there, and they disappeared. I guess they went right on up the creek because the tides, when it started coming in, it was coming in pretty fast.
Yeah, it was. You
know? So it took being a minus tide like that. And, you know, and of course it wasn't a flooded tide either. So I was kind of surprised at that, you know, because I was kind of looking forward to that. If the fish weren't biting as good, they were feeding pretty good. And I'm just unfortunately could not reach the ones that we saw feeding that good.
Of course, you said lost three, so you hooked three that you didn't bring.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. I don't know really how we lost them, but it happens. You know.
You know, when I came back, I quit about 1 o'clock. I cried myself all the way home. Actually, sniveling. Yeah, that's right.
I was going to put your boat up for sale again.
Yeah, again. No reasonable offer refused. I went across Port George, the bridge, because, you know, I went up to Sawpit to launch.
Yeah.
And the water was crystal clear. No. That incoming tide, it was. And I thought,
at Fort George?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you could see the sandbars, you know, which at high tide, there some of them are 3 feet under the water.
Yeah.
You could see them like they were exposed. Amazing the difference between what I fished in. And what that was on my way home.
Yeah, because I was there the other day on the incoming tide, and, you know, when I had my wife and daughter and granddaughter out, and, you know, my daughter's back is in bad shape, before surgery here, so I've been, you know, just take it easy. Yeah. So easing around. So anyway, I pulled up there and let them get out and get on the sandbar and stuff, you know, and play around a little bit in there and walk around a little bit. And the water was not clear like that. And it was way past the middle of incoming.
I fished down there 2 weeks ago. I guess it wasn't clean. I mean, it wasn't filthy like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
But, man, I went across that bridge. It was like being in the Bahamas. It was so nice.
Wow.
Crazy.
Of course, you're up higher, too. You can see down in it better when you're on the bridge. But, yeah, I mean, it's the St. John's. And, I mean, we went, you know, throwing lures for trout a few days ago, and I went all up in the cove and, you know, several places in the cove and, you know, caught a jack, but no trout. And, you know, it was the water, even in the cove, was dirty. When I looked down at my trolling motor, that's how you can generally tell. I mean, you can look at the water and tell it's not normal, but you look at that trolling motor head and you can see, you know, that because it's white. So
right. Well, if I can't see it, yeah, I get the heck out of there because I like to trout fish the most.
Yeah, and you could barely see it. I mean, that's how bad it was. So, I mean, you know, when it's at that point, you know there's not going to be trout in there, but I mean, we kept trying and trying and tried the St. John's, tried Clapboard, tried Intercoastal, you know, just could not find the trout. So then we went and got some reds, but, you know, it's just crazy. It was like, you know, the week before, I took Bruce and Chuck and Mel out we were going to whiting fish and drum fish at the jetties. And the catfish, I could not believe the catfish. I mean, the regular saltwater cat plus the sail cats. I mean, we caught some sail cats up close to 5 pounds.
They're fun.
You know, but not when you're looking for them. Not when you're looking for them, they're not.
Would slime up a liter, foot and a half.
Yeah, they do. And then I had one that kind of got tangled on Mel's line. It was on Bruce's line, but it got tangled on her line. So, of course, the slime was all up and down that line, too.
Yeah.
You know.
A friend of mine caught one, had it in his boat flopping around. He decided he'd stomp on it to make it quit. Yeah. They almost lost his foot.
Yeah, I had a cousin up in Virginia that did that when we were teenagers. They'd come down and was fishing with us, and he stomped on one.
Right through the shoe.
Right all the way through. I know it. Yeah. So anyway, looking at this week, I've got the gentleman partners with Cross Creek's going to go on Tuesday, I think it is. So, you know, I'm hoping to be able to get on some reds, you know, that day like we did the other day. I mean, the other day we wound up, you know, getting 7 keepers. And, I mean, we hit one spot, and I went back to that one spot yesterday, and we didn't get a bite there. But it was funny, every once in a while you just have like a thump, just one thump. And I think maybe mullet swim across the line or hit the line or something, you know.
Right.
Because, I mean, that's all it amounted to. But yeah, I went to the same spot where we had caught like 6 reds, you know, just the other day, and thinking, hey, this is the same tide now, you know. And but didn't work out. Didn't even get a bite there. I mean, it's kind of funny how, you know, you think about how these fish are in certain places. I mean, it's just like when I first pulled up yesterday to the one spot and that I usually fish. And I said, like, throw over here and you throw over there. And, you know, and then here's those fish that are 300 feet away from us. They're hanging out right down there. And, you know.
Well, just think, if you were smarter, you'd be a catcher man.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Fisherman.
Like, yeah, I'd so much prefer to be a catcher, man. That's why it's better to be lucky than good.
Yeah, because I tell you what, it didn't work all the time. But, you know, it was kind of funny. I mean, the guys that I had with me yesterday has fished with me for a long time. So, you know, like they said, hey, last time we went out, we had a bunch of fish we took home. So.
Oh, you sent me the picture.
Yeah.
It was depressing.
Give us a call, please, 222-8255. Let us know if you've been fishing this week or if you're going out. And hopefully that this Sahara dust ball that's going across this few thousand miles long. Hopefully it won't get to your sinuses like it did to mine yesterday. We'll be back.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Benelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
If you love the ocean, then express yourself with clothing from Seven Seas Outfitters. Seven Seas Outfitters makes high-quality apparel with stunning artwork for men and women. Seven Seas Outfitters was created out of a passion for the ocean, its sandy beaches, the marine life, and the mysteries that lie beneath the waves. Seven Seas Outfitters loves the ocean like you do. They donate 10% of their revenue to ocean-friendly nonprofits. Check out their full lineup at SevenSeasOutfitters.com. That's SevenSeasOutfitters.com.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits, and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
People are kind of guilty of telling them that.
Yeah.
And when it's it fails, weird. They didn't have the money in the first place.
Yeah. See, that's the problem. So anyway, so you went fishing once or twice this week?
Just once.
I thought you went twice.
No, I'm working on my house. My wife's got me building a custom fence. You know, I called 11 home improvement lumber yards this week, and I can't buy 8 foot, 6 inch fence pickets. There aren't any in town.
Hmm.
I couldn't get 10 foot 4x4s 2 weeks ago.
I thought they only made them 8 foot.
Oh, no, you can buy 10s.
Huh.
No, 6 foot, you mean? You thought they only made them 6?
No, I thought they made some eight, like 6 and 8. You know,
yeah,
four,
I'm trying to
six,
buy them.
And eight.
I'm trying to buy 8 foot, 6x6 inch.
Oh, by 6 inch.
By 6 inch, okay. Yeah.
When you said 8 foot, 6 inches, I'm like, thinking,
no, by 6.
Yeah. Why that extra? Okay. Because I know a lot of homeowners associations won't let them be over a certain height and things like that.
I didn't even know you could go over 6 feet until I started my fence, and I was talking to a real estate agent. He says, you know, you can put a 10-foot fence up. And I said, really? Because my neighbor's eaves and houses are just, one in particular, it's terrible.
Mm.
So I went with a higher fence, but I can't buy them because of this shortage caused by COVID.
Hmm. I guess because lumber yards are just not making them.
Right. And so now they've gone through their inventory. I went through 75 pickets at Lowe's, which is one of two stores. One Lowe's, one Home Depot sells 8-footers. Went through 75 pickets to get about a dozen good ones. It's the rottenest wood on the planet.
Yeah.
You know those things. And I know that.
Because they're not very thick either, so they're all warped up.
Well, and you know, you got two knots the size of your head side by side, so if a bird lands on it 6 months from now, it'll snap off.
Yeah.
You know? But I know that because I put them all back. You know, you have to take them out to see what's under them. Yeah. And then I counted them when I put them back, so I went through 75. So I went through 85 pickets to get 10.
Mm.
And now, forget it. There's five on the rack.
People's already bought them no matter what they look like.
Well, if you need one because the dog ran through it or something, you're going to buy anything.
Yeah.
Or if you send your wife to get lumber for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's amazing. You can't get lumber. There's a real lumber shortage because of this business where the COVID.
I didn't think about that.
No, I didn't either. And I got a half a fence up.
Well, you might have to just.
Fish more? I don't know that I
can. Take a break off the fence work and just that's a good excuse. Tell your wife, you know, I just can't get the fence. You know,
well, she knows.
Can't put it up if I can't get it.
She tells me to go fishing.
Yeah. Oh, so what is she doing when you're fishing?
Well, we haven't got anything for free, so I guess that's good. I know we paid for the air conditioning. I was in California working, and I talked to one of my neighbors. I said, what's going on up there? He says, your wife put in a circular driveway. Thanks for that. But, yeah, she tells me to go fishing. She's good. She's definitely married up this time.
Yeah. Big difference, huh?
Yeah, except, and I told you how many times if I take her, and kind of fortunately she doesn't like to go.
That's when you catch a good fish.
She wants me. It's cute.
And you have to put it back.
Oh, yeah. I have put back some flounders and redfish. They're just thick and delicious looking.
Yeah. So when you go fishing and you bring them home, when she's not with you, so you bring them home.
Too late.
So what do you mean too late?
They're usually in a plastic bag.
Yeah, but I mean, does she don't give you a fit about that?
No.
That's pretty good then.
Well, it's over.
Yeah.
She understands that.
Yeah. Can't release him after you fillet.
There you go. You know, and I'd rather fillet him out at the dock.
Cause, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, now they got the water back on there, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, so when you went yesterday, what was you actually going to go target first thing?
Fish.
Just fish.
Well, I started in an area that, I told you where I was fishing, that it's known for flounders. I've caught a pretty good amount of flounders in this particular area. So I started there. Nothing. Then I wanted to go to Nassauville because there's a bank that's really in some docks that have never disappointed me.
So how long it took you to get there from where you put in a saw pit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put in a saw pit. I don't know, 20 minutes, 25 minutes going. And I don't, you know, crank it up. I go 25, maybe 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And it wasn't rough, so it was pretty easy.
It was a beautiful morning
as far as,
you know, the water being slick and being able to see stuff.
Yeah. So I went over there and I fished that bank. Nothing. On the way back is where I hit that oyster bed, which I'd never fished before. You know, I always try to fish something new every time I go, which for me is easy. I didn't grow up here.
Yeah.
And I'm a Yankee, did I tell you that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, I've done that too.
Yeah, you should do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like used to, you know, if I had a cancellation or whatever and, you know, still pretty weather, I would go out and I'd fish places that I had never fished before.
I would imagine that's still true, even though you grew up here, you fished as a boy. Mm-hmm. We have a limitless supply of new places to fish.
Well, it's like at one point, I fished this creek on the outgoing tide, just about halfway from, you know, there's two ways to go through from Clapboard to Sisters, and one of them is over by Marker 77. You know, you come out over there. So anyway, I'd fish this creek. A lot of times. Well, I had a charter, and I forget what time they're supposed to be there, something like 9 o'clock or whatever. So, you know, we were just going to fish the outgoing and low tide for red, so half a day. So, anyway, I go get the bait, you know, because, you know, sometimes they'll sell out of bait. So
sure.
I go early, get the bait, launch the boat, and I'm sitting there going, you know, I fished that creek, and it's high tide now. I'm going to go check out this creek. And so I pull into this creek that I'd never been into because, I mean, the thing's only like 12, 15 foot wide.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I had started fishing the outgoing tide there is because of the amount of water that comes out of there. You know, you tell if it's, you know, just barely coming out on a falling tide, then it's not feeding very big of an area. But when it's coming out hard, you know, it's feeding a bigger area back there. So anyway, you know, I'm fishing it, and I'm going up it with a trolling motor, and I'm looking at my depth finder. I've got like 5 foot in there, you know, so like plenty of water. And I get all the way up at the end of it, and there's actually about 2 acres of flooded grass up there. And I immediately see a couple of tails, redfish. And I was like, yeah, this is a place I could fish. So I've been in there over the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years. I couldn't tell you how many times I've been in there now and caught,
hundreds.
And caught fish, yeah. You know. And so, you know, I've actually fished up in it now more than I fished the mouth of it.
For me, every day is new here. Because there's, like you say, there's just so much.
Mm-hmm.
And each time, you know, I try a little bit farther or take a side creek. I've learned about the tide, though. Because I have spent hours laying on the bottom of my boat freezing to death on land. So on dry land on a sandbar. Yeah. And so once you, because there was no tides. I grew up on lakes.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have a tide. So that was kind of a learning curve.
So, and you're learning also about the different tides. We don't have the same height of tide all the time.
Right.
You know, I mean, some days grass is flooded, some days it's not. And
I go up in the grass sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm comfortable doing that. And that's what you told me about the dark, when the grass starts to look dark,
mm-hmm.
get the heck out of Dodge.
Yeah. Yeah, because if not, you're not talking about sitting on a sandbar for a couple of hours. You're having to wait till the next high tide.
Well, it depends where you are.
You know.
But I mean, even on the creeks, when you're on the banks, you see that grass starting to look brown.
Yeah.
I'm looking around going, boy. Because you know where the eagle's nests are that we were up in there? There's one part of that that's real shallow. You can get stuck up in there.
Yeah.
About halfway out. You better get out of there. So, yeah, that was pretty helpful. More helpful Vic Tyson fishing god stuff.
Well, and you know, looking at whenever you're up in that flooded grass at high tide and you're watching that grass, that's what I'm saying about, you know, not being just stuck on a sandbar for 2 or 3 hours. You know, if you're up in the flooded grass and you're trying to do tailing reds and sheep's head in the flooded grass and the tide leaves you way up in there. You're talking about waiting until the next high tide to get out of there.
2 weeks, and whatever it takes.
Well, if you look at a tide chart, even the next high tide may not be as high.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, you got to really study that, I mean, and know, you know, where to go like that.
You no.
Know, or know when to get out, I should say.
That,
and it's not worth taking a chance.
No, I'm not willing to be, because I was literally freezing to death laying on the bottom of my boat covered up with a towel and life jacket.
A fishing rag.
Yeah.
Small fishing rag.
I only lost 2 toes.
Oh, boy. Give us a call, 222-8255. We'll be back.